Glass half full or empty? Which way do you lean? As you will hear in this episode, I am not exactly the glass half full kind of gal. So naturally, I tend to be a little bit more of a pessimist. But after speaking to my friend, Amber Cullum, I am ready to launch myself into a life of gratitude. This episode has one point in particular that totally blew my mind, so don't miss it. Here we go. Welcome to the Making Room Semester of Faith School podcast. This podcast is for women of faith who are ready to be transformed from the inside out, to integrate their life and faith, and to begin a life on mission. This practical podcast is not just a list of how-tos, but it's here to prompt you to take action and adopt the kingdom way of life, surrender to a holy God. My name is Leah, and I'm joining you in the messy middle of a surrendered faith. Come on in, take a seat. Class is now in session. To those of you who are new to the podcast, welcome. And to my old faithfuls, welcome back. Pessimists, I hope that you are ready to be challenged in this episode. The latest in our Making Room semester, Amber goes really deep into her own journey of pursuing a life of gratitude and how we can renew our minds to be more grateful and some really simple practices that we can start to implement. It's a really sweet episode, and so I am really excited that you are here. Have you signed up for our Life Decluttered Mini Challenge? In 10 minutes a day, you can take your first step from overwhelmed to a more holistic, decluttered way of living. We'll begin our journey to clear the clutter in our homes, inboxes, calendars, bodies, minds, hearts, and spirits to make room for something greater. This challenge is available self-paced, but you can also join us on June 13th to 19th as we run it as a community. So if you're ready, join the 7-day challenge today through the link in our show notes. All right, let's head into this wonderful, delightful conversation with Mrs. Amber Cullum. Welcome, Amber, to Faith School. I am so delighted that you're here. I'm delighted that we get to chat again because since February, it just feels like it's been too long. So
I know, because we got to meet in person, which is so fun, right? Like, it makes it different than when you sit across the mic from somebody that you actually met in person.
I know, that's right. Yeah, we are on Lisa Whittle's intern team, so for those who don't know, and so we got the privilege of hanging out at Lisa's place for a weekend together in Charlotte, or just outside of Charlotte, and it was awesome. It was such a good weekend.
It really, really was. It was like, take me back, please. To the fantasy world.
Yeah. Trying to find every excuse to get back together. I feel like
that's right.
Yeah.
So true.
Well, I am excited to have you on here to also talk about gratitude, because something that honestly I'm not very good at is being grateful. And I know how much it's impacted your life. So I'm going to let you take the wheel here and just share with us, what has your relationship looked like with gratitude over time?
Yeah, well, I don't want anyone to think that I'm good at gratitude either, because I'm not, which is what started me on this journey. You know, I think that when we think about gratitude, we often think about, you know, saying thank you to someone else, or maybe writing, you know, making a journal of, oh, I'm thankful for, which is where I started. Right. So I was sitting driving with my husband, young, married, and he stopped me mid-sentence and said, tell me 3 to 5 things you're thankful for. And I rolled my eyes at him and I was just like so irritated. Like, oh, why are you doing this? Yeah. And I knew why he was doing it, because I was the type of person, and still am, to be frank, where once I get discouraged about something, or once something is hard, I just will go into this runaway train, I like to call it, of grumbling. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of his way of beginning to stop the train. And so I don't really remember what I said, but what I do remember is from that point forward, every time he would ask me, I would find myself like giving a few things that I was thankful for. And I would kind of feel a little bit of this load lighten, mm-hmm. like this perspective shift. And so it went from more of like, just, hey, you know, I'm grateful for, you know, having breakfast with you this morning, mm-hmm. to more of a focus on being grateful to God for everything from as simple as, you know what, God, I'm glad that I have hot water, to thank you for that life-giving conversation that I got to have around, you know, the fire pit last night. Mm-hmm. And when I walked through postpartum depression, and really after all three of my children, gratitude, I would have a journal open on my kitchen counter. And my goal was every single day to write at least 10 things that I was thankful for, because I had seen that it had transformed my mind. Mm. It wasn't so much that I just stopped grumbling as much as it was, I would kind of catch myself in the middle of that, mm-hmm. and begin to shift towards, wait a minute, there are so many things around me right now to be grateful for, that there has to be a way that I can just kind of turn off some of this grumbling, mm-hmm. and not have a superficial type gratitude as much as looking more at the big picture. And so, you know, I mean, that's just kind of an introductory look. It's looked a lot different over the years, but now, you know, with brain science and so many things, I could really go on and on about the ways that it's not just something God tells us to do. It's actually science. And as we know, God may, he is the one who created science.
Yeah.
And so I like to say, as normal science is catching up with God science, we see that our brain pathways are really positively impacted by gratitude.
Yeah. Well, I would love to hear more about that, and just to kind of expand into how it does change some of those neural pathways and all that. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So I like to tell people at first, I'm a physical therapist by training. I don't do that now. And only because I have kids, like I decided to stay home. Mm-hmm. But I remember my favorite class was gross anatomy, and hopefully this doesn't gross anyone out, but it is dissecting the human body. And so I remember the very first time, like, holding the brain in my hand and thinking, like, this little gray mass, like it looks kind of like a sponge. And really, that's it. And so it's amazing, though, to think that inside of that are billions of, think of a busy intersection. Mm-hmm. I know you're in Canada, but there are plenty of intersections all over the place. And you have said that a lot of your listeners were in the United States. And so it's like, you know, think Los Angeles, think New York City, think Atlanta, these busy intersections, and cars, or in brain terms, neurons, are constantly firing back and forth across from one side of your brain to the other, from the top of your brain to the, you know, tip of your toes, telling you how to move, how to respond, and all of those things. Well, that is exactly what happens with anything we think. There are some things we can train our brain to do, and then there are other things that just reflexively happen. Like, we have everything we need to know how to walk when we're born, but we still have to learn to walk. We have everything we need to have healthy neural pathways, but we still have to be taught to use those. And as we know, the majority of us tend to err on the side of complaining or grumbling, or thinking of the worst case scenario. And part of that is because our brain, its primary function is to keep us safe.
Right, right.
So if you grow up in maybe a home where you are safe, things are pretty great, but everybody around you kind of grumbles a lot, well, we just naturally do that. But if you grow up in a place where you're not safe, you're going to do everything you can to conform to that, to make sure that you stay safe. Right. And so when it comes to gratitude, the good news is that no matter what neural pathways were laid when you were young, think about it like, instead of, you know, this asphalt that you're driving on a highway, more of a muddy road, the more you drive over it, the deeper the ruts in the ground get.
Right.
So if you're driving over it and all the time it's, oh my gosh, why do things always bad happen to me? Oh, of course, that's exactly what would happen every time. You know, I mean, that whole idea. Well, then that's what your brain just starts saying all the time. Mm-hmm. But we have neuroplasticity, so we can actually change our brain. Now, it takes tons of time to replace negative thought patterns, things that we believed when we were young that we now continue in life to stay safe. Right. But you can do it. And the way that you change it is by habits, rhythms, choosing things that are healthy, that bias us towards gratitude, that bias us towards goodness, that, you know, bias us towards looking at the best case scenario. But it is an intentional thing that you have to choose. Right. And so your brain will actually rewire itself to begin looking more at positive things, things you're thankful for, the potential versus, everything that happens is just so bad and awful. And so, I mean, hopefully that makes sense. Oh. I think the biggest thing is just knowing that you can actually drive back over those pathways and begin to change the ruts from something from ingratitude to gratitude.
Yeah. I find that stuff so interesting. I love how you kind of said that it has to do with like rhythms and stuff too, right? Like this is something that is kind of, you know, over and over again, step by step kind of thing. Because I think oftentimes we hope that there's kind of one quick fix, or there's kind of, you know, and the Lord does heal, and you know, he can do those things for sure. But most of the time, those types of things, it's a discipline. It takes time and it'll happen.
That's right.
You know, with every little step. My next question actually was around intentionality and just how being more intentional and making room for gratitude, how has that changed your life now that you've kind of taken some of those intentional steps, you've added it as a part of your rhythm? What is the outcome of that? How has it changed for you?
Yeah. I mean, I think sometimes it's hard for me to almost even identify it. When people have asked me this in the past, I'm like, man, I wish my husband was here, because sometimes it's the people around us who actually notice more of the change. But I know some things that he has said, because I'll get frustrated and say, goodness, I feel like I just haven't changed at all. You know, I'm just grumbling, or maybe there's just, you know, all of us have things that we struggle with, and we've probably had those thoughts like, how am I still doing this when I've been working so hard to make a difference? And then, you know, you could go into this whole striving and God, you know, you got to depend on God, but we've all had that thought pattern. And so my husband will say, you absolutely complain less now than what you did 15 years ago when we got married.
Wow.
You absolutely will be the one that's like the positive one in the room. You know, the one who's like, wait a minute, what about this? Whereas that seems so, when I'm just saying it here, it may seem so superficial and not a big deal. But if you live with someone who is constantly grumbling or doesn't catch themselves grumbling, it's a much bigger impact to be able to look and say, no, I mean, they do express gratitude now. They do walk out into nature and can look at their children and say, wait a minute, pause. Look at the different colors of green in the tree. Like God decided, I'm not just going to make everything one shade of green.
Right.
I'm going to make it all these wonderful shades of green because I'm a creative God, and that's what I do. Well, those things, those thought patterns, those conversations with my kids, I'm not sure they would have ever happened had I not started regular daily gratitude practices. So that's just a few of the things.
I love that. I see how, you know, in my own life, Amber, just feeling like super pessimistic. My natural bent is to be more pessimistic and more like, you know, some of the things that you were saying was like exactly what comes out of my mouth on a weekly basis. Like, why is this happening to me? But just being able to stop and be intentional and reflect and be able to even invite other people into that, just like you were saying with your kids too.
That is something that I hope to aspire to do a little bit more. I have moments of it, but I think for me, it's been a real challenge. And so I'm very encouraged by the journey that you have been on. And you're right. Sometimes we don't even see those changes in ourselves, and it takes someone else to say, no, you have changed. And I'm proud of the changes that have come out of it. Or look at what God has done in our life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, sometimes we need to ask somebody. I think we can talk about accountability, but sometimes we don't actually follow through with accountability.
Right.
And I say that because sometimes I will look at my husband and say, will you just kind of pay attention to this and tell me if where do you see me making progress in this? And that's not so that we can pat ourselves on the back. That's really for growth purposes. We need that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh. And for those of you who don't know, in my church in the last month, it's been pretty heavy. We lost our pastor, and it's been a very challenging month. But one thing that I have loved seeing out of it is how we have come together as the body, and that we have encouraged one another. And beyond just like trying to uplift one another, there is a bit of, the body is there to be there for one another. And so that community aspect is so important, to encourage, to be the, iron sharpens iron. And I think that it would be so beneficial for us to ask some of those questions that might feel like maybe a little awkward to some people, right? But that's what the body is there for. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes that we miss the point of it's not just to worship together, to listen to a sermon together. It is about being there for one another to point us all towards Jesus. So
that's right.
Yeah. That being said, there's a lot of people that are going to struggle with, like, I just don't feel grateful, and and even myself, I can be kind of pessimistic. What do you see as kind of getting in the way of us experiencing gratitude, whether it be in our minds, our hearts, our culture? I mean, Amber, what do you see as getting in the way?
Well, I mean, a lot of it really is our own brains and the way that we're made up. We have this confirmation bias in our brains, where whatever we believe, we're going to search for things that actually confirm what we already believe. And so that's natural. That just happens to us. And how that has to do with gratitude is because I do think some of us are more wired as quote unquote glass half empty, glass half full people. So I think we're just kind of bent in that direction a little bit. But I also think some of us, depending upon the family you grew up in, are going to tend to lean more towards glass half empty, glass half full type thinking, depending upon, how your parents were, how your siblings were, how your school environment was. Were you the really good kid that always got praised because you just did all the right things? So our brains signal, if I do X, then Y and Z are going to happen.
Right.
That's good and bad. It doesn't, that's reward and that's punishment. That's just what our brain does. That's how it stays safe. And so I think that it's very true that some people struggle so much with being thankful because they have experienced really, really hard things.
Right.
And that keeps happening over and over again. But I also think that we sometimes look at Thanksgiving and gratitude as we have to have a certain feeling. When it's really far less about a feeling than what it is saying, okay, God, you have actually asked me to bring an offering to you. In Leviticus 7, when we're looking at all the offerings, and it's so easy for people to say, oh, the offerings don't matter anymore because, you know, that's what the Jews did before Jesus. But oh, it adds a layer to our faith that if we will just pay attention to what they mean, the Thanksgiving offering is the only one that they didn't have to present to God. Mm-hmm. So it was an optional offering.
Wow.
It was also the only one where the sacrifice that you brought either wasn't fully consumed on the altar, which is consumed by God, or partially consumed by the altar and then by the priests. Because if people know, like the Levites were the priests and the Jews were responsible for feeding the priests. So that's what part of the sacrifice went to, was their food. Well, the Thanksgiving offering, part of it was consumed on the altar, part of it was given to the Levites, and then part of it was actually given to the person bringing the offering. Oh, so wow. Think about table fellowship between God, the priest, which in New Testament, who is our great high priest? Christ. Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
So God, Jesus now, and us. Wow. It's the only offering where that takes place.
Wow.
And so there's a lot, if you just let that sit for a minute, there's a lot to unpack. Then what does the Thanksgiving offering represent? God, thank you for being willing to do, you know, maybe not all the things that only bring goodness and blessing to us, but thank you for just being you. Thank you for the trees outside my window.
Yeah.
Thank you that even when I don't want to praise, the birds will. You know what I'm saying? So it adds this depth to our Thanksgiving that goes beyond how you feel and more towards, I'm going to begin renewing my mind, which he asks us to do by actually thanking him for the things that he asks me to think on. So think about Philippians 4:8. Think about what is pure and lovely and admirable.
Right.
Well, take the time to actually think about those things and then thank God for something in your life that is pure, that newborn baby in its mom's arms, something that is admirable, that wife who is caring for her dying husband for years in the case of your pastor who just passed away. And so it changes things when you begin to approach Thanksgiving and gratitude as less of a feeling and more of what is around me already that I'm so grateful is here.
Yeah. Oh, Amber, I'm going to have to like replay that, I think, several times to just be able to even go into all the layers of that. There's so much, oh my goodness, there's so much in the Old Testament that just like gets bypassed, and it just stuff that just blows my mind and how connected it is to the new. Oh, that's so cool.
It's so sad. It's so cool. I want to talk about that, right? Because we've just kind of like, we lose so much of this Jewish culture and heritage, and it's so much our heritage. Like,
absolutely.
Not heritage as in we're Jews, we're Gentiles, we're Gentile believers. But because Jesus was a Jewish rabbi, there is purpose to all of that. And it paints this beautiful picture of what we live today, and we miss it. Miss it.
I want to like have a whole semester just dedicated to looking at Jewish culture and Old Testament and how it's linked to the
new. Invite me back.
Okay. Yes. Let's do it.
We'll talk Sabbath and all the things, right?
Oh yeah, totally. Totally. Yeah. That's one thing that Amber and I were geeking out a little bit about when we were in Charlotte was our love of Sabbath. So
that's right.
We both have good stuff on that. All right. I want to ask our making room question, which is how do we even begin to start making room for gratitude, for a practice of gratitude, but also just gratitude in general? How do we begin that?
Yeah, I think the most practical way, I remember the way that I started really was by just laying a notebook out on my kitchen counter and just deciding when something happens, what a friend of mine would have called a joy point. She was like, I want you to collect 10 joy points every day. And that's such a generic, like almost new agey type word. I mean, you know, but the reality is what you're collecting are things that you're grateful to God for. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really what it is. Yeah. And just write them down. And I remember my mother-in-law talking about when she had little babies at home. So when my husband was a little boy and her husband was just working like crazy, mm-hmm. she said, you have to get past the fact of caring what your house looks like and all of that. She goes, because I would put post-it notes all over my wall of things I was thankful to God for, wow. because it was my lifeline. Like yeah. I had to focus on something else. Yeah. Besides all the stuff around me that just felt like it was falling apart. So yeah. if I were to say one simple place to start, mm-hmm. that's where to start.
Yeah.
Now, beyond that, all of these verses that talk about like what I was just saying, mm-hmm. things to focus your mind on. We, you know, do not be conformed anymore to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, you know, on and on and on. Mm-hmm. It tells us what to think on. Write those things down.
Yeah.
And give God thanksgiving and praise for some of those things that come to mind under those topics. Philippians 4:8 is my favorite to do that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just like anything else, Leah, we're being formed by something.
Right.
And we often are times more often than not are choosing what we're being formed by.
Right.
So if you want to be formed into a person who expresses thanks and sees that even when you're not trying, mm-hmm. you have to make a choice, even if it's 5 or 10 minutes a day, to pay attention to what God has given you that you can give him thanks for.
Yeah.
And so maybe that's just a timer. Maybe that's a reminder on your phone. 1 o'clock every day, I'm going to stop. I'm going to walk outside. I'm going to look around and say, God, mm-hmm. I am thankful that today I can do blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So it's really just about intention. Yeah. That's where I would start.
I love that. One thing I've heard people to become more kind of rhythmic in it, or where it comes up a little bit more, is attaching it to a chore or a habit,
yeah.
or, you know, if you could be washing yep. the dishes. I mean, for me, I don't really enjoy washing the dishes. So probably be a good time to do my gratitude practice, right. But just as a reminder that, okay, this is my time to express gratitude to the yeah. Lord, to remind myself of all of the gifts, the blessings that he has given me and the world around me. So
that's right. Yeah. 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 I mean, and there's just so many little things too. Like if you're driving in the car,
right?
Try to get in a little bit more of a habit. I know Andy Crouch says, like in the morning before I, you know, do anything else, I walk right. outside, take a deep breath before I, you know, do any of the other things, and just spend some time thanking mm-hmm. God. And so you just have to pick, like you said, a chore, something, set that timer on your phone yeah. Or reminder in order to do it, and then it becomes much more second nature after. About 60 days.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It's not 30. It's really like 60.
Well, I love that, because I think that sometimes we often think that it has to do with like gratitude journaling or, mm-hmm. you know, and that's a good practice. And
it is.
It's nothing absolutely. Against that, but it can look like a lot more, or it can be a lot. There's other ways to do it, basically.
Absolutely.
Know. Yeah. Do
well,
you do
and let journal? Me interrupt. Well, so I did a journal
okay.
for... Yeah. 3 or 4 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I don't as much now. Now, when I'm praying in general and writing, because I do journal a lot of my prayers just because yeah. it's good for my brain to stay focused.
Right.
I always have a time of thanksgiving during my prayer time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Always. So, and that I've done like even when I was still just grumbling all the time. So sometimes you can be thanking God and still be grumbling all the time. But I do think the more and more you practice, the more you begin to do other things besides just journaling, right. the more it becomes second nature. Like, for example, something we do around our dinner table various times, but particularly on birthdays, or maybe it's Valentine's Day. A lot of times on Friday nights, we have a Shabbat meal to kick off our Sabbath. We'll do right. it. And it's, let's tell the person to our left what we appreciate about them.
I love
it. It's Zoe's birthday. We're all going to tell Zoe what we love about her, because if you have ever looked at someone and told them what you appreciate about them, watch what happens to their countenance.
Watch
what happens. It changes them. It builds their confidence. It helps them to know that God really is in them and doing a work in them. And it's good for us to acknowledge in people what we love and appreciate about them, because we tend to just focus on all the stuff we don't like.
Right.
I mean, it's just natural.
Yeah.
So try that. Try that around your dinner table. And the more you do it, the less awkward it feels.
Absolutely. Well, it's almost like what you were saying in the beginning about your husband, who is just like, no, I've seen a change in you. And
yes,
we need that, right? We need to be kind of reminded and told. So
absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I have found this very encouraging, and I'm already, my wheels are turning of like, how can I include gratitude a little bit more in my own day? So I am so thankful for you, Amber, being on here and talking to us about that. I would love to end with kind of our exploratory, well, I shouldn't say end, there's going to be other questions, but I would love to end this part with our exploring question, which is, with your unique area of expertise and life experiences, how would you define the abundant life?
I read that question you sent and I thought, wow, how would I define abundant life? And of course I couldn't help but think about John 10:10, where that comes from. Mm-hmm. And you know, the first part of that verse is it actually tells us what the thief does. Mm-hmm. So he comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And so when I think about the abundant life, I think about the opposite of those things, you know, like what, it's not abundance as in I'm not suffering. I have all the things that I want, but it's the experience of Jesus, of God here on earth, mm-hmm. glimpsing little pieces of his kingdom in the here and now, mm-hmm. in the hard,
yeah.
in the ugly, in the good,
yeah.
in the, you know, and all of the things. And so, because I know with like abundance, you know, we're thinking full, we're thinking beyond measure.
Right.
And so that, I think sometimes as an American, that means more stuff.
Right.
But I don't believe that's what Jesus is talking about. He's really talking more of him, mm-hmm. more of walking with him, of seeing him in all of life, mm-hmm. no matter what is actually going on.
Yeah. Oh, so good. I love hearing all of these responses. This has just been so much fun to hear from everybody. Okay. Well, I'm sad to wrap up the main part of this because I've enjoyed it so much and I love talking to you, but we do have just our last concluding questions, which are also kind of fun. So the first one is, what are some resources that you would recommend to us about this topic? And I know that there is a little something that you have that you might be able to share with us.
Yeah. So I have a free 4-week gratitude practice. You can get that for free at graceenoughpodcast.com/free-gratitude-practice. And that's just a resource that it does walk you through the Philippians 4:8. It has a couple of other verses and things to think about that will kind of draw, you know, your five senses gratitude practice. That's another great one. So it's got a few of those things.
Yeah.
So go and get that for free. And then probably the other resource is a newer book by Nicole Zasowski, What If It's Wonderful? Mm. And she just talks about little ways to celebrate and to practice Thanksgiving in the second half of her book that I feel like are really crucial. And it's just cool. A well-written book. So yeah, I would recommend it.
Oh, that's awesome. I've seen the title of that a few times, but I didn't know exactly what it was about. So that's great.
Yeah. It's really her story, but the second half is what I feel like is really, really rich.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. All right. What is a spiritual practice or discipline that has been really life-giving to you right now?
Well, I won't share gratitude since we've talked about that, but Sabbath. Yeah. I mean, we in our family, and I'll try not to chat too long, but honestly, beyond even Sabbath is we do kick off our practice with a Shabbat meal on Friday night with a family, our family of four, where we bless the girls and we bless the boys. Very, very similar to what Jews would do on a Friday night to kick off their Sabbath. And we just kind of introduce Christ into that practice. And I mean, it's just really become a huge piece of the identity of our family, this meal and a way that we kind of recenter ourselves around Christ.
Right. Yeah.
And so I feel like even if nobody ever practices Sabbath, I wish they would do the Shabbat meal every single week because it's just fantastic for your family.
Oh, I love that. I love how you said it's part of your identity as a family. Mm-hmm. That's really beautiful, Amber.
Yeah. I hope my kids say that when they're old with their own kids, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I think they will.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. All right. If you could assign one piece of homework, because this is faith school, we're allowed to give homework here. So if you could assign one piece of homework, right? to my listeners, what would it be?
I know I've said it several times, but I would say, go ahead, write down Philippians 4:8 and write one to three things under each of those categories. You might have to look up the definitions to the words. If you download the free resource I talked about, it actually has the definitions.
Oh, wonderful.
And it will just transform the way you think about things and the way that you think about what you could give God thanks for. So take the time to do it because it's an awesome practice that really opens your eyes to some new things you maybe didn't pay attention to before.
Oh, I love that. I love like the studying it like one verse at a time, especially ones that feel familiar. And yet there's just so much more that can be dug out of them. I love that.
Well, and then you think about like, we all struggle so much with our mind. Like, I mean, God tells us renew our minds and set your minds on these things. And we're always like, well, how do we do that? And it's because, well, it's hard because we're always in a hurry and we rarely like actually sit and dig into those verses that tell us to do it. And then when you do, you're like, oh, this is what he was talking about.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Exactly. Okay. If you could give, this is last question. If you could give any last encouragement or if there's anything else that you would want to share with us at all, what would it be?
Oh my goodness. Last bits of encouragement. When it comes to gratitude, I would just say, take the time if you have young children or if you have grandchildren or if you instruct children in any way at church or just in life, to go ahead and start pointing out some things that are God-sized things, but seem really, really small.
Yeah.
And be sure to say, oh, I thank God for that. That's such a neat thing. You know, I'll stop and look at a hummingbird or some ugly little bug, you know, that really, I don't like it. But I've learned to find I've started to be fascinated with why would God put these little unique things out there? Like, why does he do that?
Yeah.
And I just give him thanks for it because it's the curiosity in us that I think helps us praise him because there's just no way we could come up with it.
Yeah.
And so that's what I would encourage you.
Oh, this has been so good. It's so nice to talk to you, my friend. I've just enjoyed this so much.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on.
You're welcome.
Thank you to Amber for coming on Faith School. It was such a joy to speak to you again. And for everyone else, I just want to make sure that you check out her gratitude resource and you listen to her incredible podcast, Grace Enough. She's a really great interviewer, and I really enjoyed listening in on Amber's show. You can check that out through the link in our show notes. Next episode, we are going to have one of my favorite people on planet Earth come on to chat a little bit about a life decluttered. What does that mean? And what are the rich rewards? Don't miss out and follow us on your favorite podcast platform. If you want to catch me on the socials, you can find me at leah.rempel or at faithschoolpod on Instagram or subscribe to our new YouTube channel, Faith School. I'm happy to continue serving you on those platforms. Thank you for spending a little time with us today at Faith School. We're praying you feel fully surrendered today to the God who made you, loves you, and wants to partner with you. Class is now dismissed. Go out there and reveal his kingdom.